A scripture lesson today is from the 13th chapter of Matthew, reading verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed. Some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on soil and brought forth on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This is one of those passages that you have probably heard your whole life. I remember being a child at Church in the Pines in Laurel Hill and thinking about all those different kinds of seeds that were sown, and it made so much sense, you know, that if it fell on the ground and there wasn't much depth, that it would be burned up. I'd seen my own little personal efforts at a garden do that. You know, and all those things, it makes sense as a gardener, you know. By the way, we do have a garden here. For everybody on WLNC Radio, we have a Grace Garden out there, and it is bearing fruit, some 60 and 100-fold, and it's for everybody that wants to come and just help yourself. So come out to Trinity and pick yourself some tomatoes and okra and other things. So just want to put that little plug in for the Grace Garden at Trinity Presbyterian Church, Laurinburg. But think about how you have heard about this parable of the sower. And this is what I, as the preacher, have to get over today, because we got it. So, and I found something really exciting today that I think is new, and I want to share it with you. But to do that, I want you to sort of bring yourself into this scripture and tell yourself where you are right now as far as what's going on. I know from just folks who have reached out to me and, you know, people listening online, people who are listening on live on the radio, people here in the congregation, there are people dealing with grief. There are people who have had essential, beloved people die recently, and that's a lot to deal with. There are people who are struggling with addiction, and that's a lot to deal with. There are people who are in a spiritual, kind of, I don't even call it a spiritual desert. You know, you know what it's like to kind of have it, you know, kind of sweet, you know, and that kind of thing, but you don't feel that way now. There are people who are working so hard to take care of a family member. It may be a parent, it may be a sibling, it may be a spouse, but that's taking a lot of energy and a lot of your time. And those are just some I know about. I want you to fill it in about you, where you are, what's your stress, what's the thing that's kind of wearing you out. And then you come on this parable, and it's kind of upsetting because you think, oh, man, you know, how do I manage all this and, you know, be good soil, so to speak? How do I do that? So let me just point out a few things here, just straight out of the scripture, that it's funny how you can read the Bible, you know, pretty much your whole life, and then see stuff you've never seen before. And that's kind of what happened working on this passage. But it says that Jesus got out in a boat. There were so many crowds, and the crowd stood on the beach. Now, we've talked about this before, why Jesus did that. Because if you ever sat on a dock by a lake late at night, you can hear people on the other side of the lake talking. And the reason is that sound reflects off the water. And so it's like a PA system. And Jesus pushed the boat out so he could talk and everybody could hear him at a certain distance, because he didn't have Bose speakers. You know, he just had the pond at the Sea of Galilee. So that's why he did that. And he told them many things in parables. And everybody, why didn't he just say it? You know, why does he have to use parables? And I think Jesus used parables because he wants us to work it out. You know, because you get it, go, okay, I got it, you know. Then you walk away and get the other thing. But with a parable, it's the kind of thing that sticks with you. And you have to chew on it, you know, even after you leave church, like what this parable is. So here's something that I was really interested, because he gives the explanation to this thing. And you know what's so interesting? Every single one of those soul types, it says it, every single one, are people who hear the word. You see that? Every single, the one that was shallow soul, they hear the word and do something. The ones with thorns, they hear the word and do something. Every single one are people who hear the word. So this is for us. This is Jesus talking to people who are his followers, saying, you are the ones who hear the word. And if you're in this sanctuary today, you're here to hear the word. If you're listening on the radio or online, you tuned in because you want to hear the word. And the preacher's responsibility is to share the word. We're supposed to do that. And if you don't, it's our fault if you don't hear the word. We're the ones, it's on us if you don't hear the word while you're here. But I thought it was so interesting. I never noticed that before. But it's not for everybody out there who's just running around doing what they're doing. It's for people who hear the word. Every single one of them is people who hear the word and something. So that's the first thing. It's Christians. And then the second thing about the soil, and I put what the sermon title says, you know, what kind of soil are you? I want to tell you that I think that we are all four types of those soils in our lives, all of us. We have times when we're those soils. And I sort of tried to think through the different ones that happened to me and see if you can relate to this with you. So when anyone hears the word, of the kingdom and does not understand it. So that's one type of person. Somebody who's here, you're listening, you hear the word, but you don't understand it. Now, that may be the preacher's fault, too, but it may be that you just don't get it. The person who hears the word and does not understand it, then the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown, what has been sown in the heart, and this is what is sown on the path. Okay, so you hear it and you don't understand it. And I can think of many times growing up, you know, I went to church, and I am sure that I was in there where the word was being taught and I wasn't listening. Or I wasn't understanding. My mind was totally on something else. I did not come to church with the idea to understand anything. I was just, you know, I was just kind of like, okay, I'm here. Maybe it'll sink in through osmosis, you know, through my eardrums and, you know, my heart. And I've been that way as an adult too. You know, I hate to admit this stuff. One of the occupational hazards of being a minister is you kind of think you kind of know these things. You know. And, you know, when we've been down in Wilmington, there's a PCUSA church, Presbyterian Church USA, right across the street from our little apartment that we got. So it's called Windermere Presbyterian Church. And so we go, and Annette and I go on Sundays when we're there. And, you know, it happens where I'm saying, you know, the guy's a great preacher and everything, but I'm sitting there going, you know, I wouldn't have done it that way, you know. You know, and you can do that list. I remember one time I preached at Black Mountain Presbyterian Church. I don't know if you've ever been there. But a lot of Presbyterian ministers go and retire in Montreat in Black Mountain. And I asked the interim pastor who was there, hey, how many retired ministers do y'all have here in this congregation? And he said, "You want?" He said, "It's going to scare you." And I said, "Really? Seriously? How many?" He said, "150." 150 preachers sitting there going, I wouldn't have done it like that. I was like, man, I'm looking at the sermon going, I might as well just give up on this. But that is the people who hear the word of the kingdom and do not understand it because of whatever reason. The preacher's fault or your own fault. That's the first one. Those are the ones, the seeds are sown on the path. Okay, the second one, sown on the rocky ground. This is verse 20. The one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Isn't that great? How many times have you received a sermon with joy? I expect to see it out the door today. No, how many times have you received the word with joy? That sounds like a great thing. Yet, such a person has no root and endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person falls away immediately. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. When I was in college, I was in a Christian fellowship, and I was brand new to Christianity, sort of like that it meant something to me. I'd gone to church, but it became mine. And I was in that fellowship for a couple of years, and I got kind of tired of being so good. And so I had a non-Christian guy in a fraternity invite me to go with him. He and I decided to go to England together and study the Protestant Catholic conflict in Northern Ireland. So me and Ted Gary and I, we went together. And so I am thinking, okay, I am over here. There's none of my little college Christian friends to monitor me or to hear about whatever I do. And it's England, so probably God's not there either. And I'm kidding. And so Ted and I are in this hotel, and he's in a fraternity, and he wants to go see some of his fraternity brothers that are also over there at a different hotel. So I said, okay. So we go over to his hotel, his friend's hotel, walk into the lobby, and we're thinking we're going to get some drinks at the bar. And I walk in that lobby, and the first thing I hear is, "Praise the Lord, it's Jim Morgan." And I'm thinking, oh, crap, man, who? And it was Mike Corbett, my Christian friend, and he was there too, and he comes up and hugs me, and he says, "Jim, praise the Lord, it's so good." And I'm thinking, God's even here, you know, in this hotel. But I was trying to just stay away. That was one of the time when, you know, just like the rocky ground, with that Christian fellowship, receiving everything with joy, we were very joyful. But I didn't have any root and endured only for a little while. Okay, the other one is, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears, what? The word. But cares of the world and lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. Now, we all have had those times. See, I'm trying to tell you that all of these apply to me, and I think they all apply to everybody here. But, you know, I was in business, just so you know my history, I had two churches, and then I started traveling, doing music and speaking at youth conferences for about 10 years, and I also worked during the week at our family business. And then at a particular time, my dad, who was the head of that business, started having health problems, and so I had to just stop traveling and buckle down and be the head of the company. And that, being in a secular company, for those of you who know, whatever you do, you got to earn money. But the other thing about it, it is an entirely selfish thing, business is. You are trying to negotiate things for you, not for another person. Now, I happen to think that when you negotiate well, you are thinking about how this could benefit the other side. But I hadn't learned that yet. But I was in business, and so there was a time I wasn't preaching. I wasn't, you know, talking to high school kids or doing any kind of keynoting or doing any kind of music. And so I became kind of dried up. And so when it says the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word. And that's just saying, Jesus is saying, this is what happens. It does. It happens. And if you have a care, which we all do, the cares of the world, that could be financial, it could be emotional, it could be any of those things I mentioned at the beginning. The work you're doing, whatever it is, those things can choke the word, and it does. And then the last one, as for the sown in good soil, this is the one who hears the word, and understands it and then bears fruit. And so I just want to look at that for a second. You hear it and understand it. And part of that, some of you do this with me. You will talk to me at the door or you will text me later and say, now, is this what I heard today? Or is this what you said? Or is this, I found this other thing here. What do you think about this? And that is trying, that is digging deeper to try to understand what's going on. I love that. I think that's great. But then it says that you bear fruit. And I know we all sort of want to become better people. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. We want those things. And so hearing and understanding the word and going deeper with it is a way to grow those spiritual fruit if you continue to try to understand the word and try to get it inside of you. And so Jesus is wanting you to bear fruit. And he's wanting, and what is another definition of fruit, you think? You know, like, what's the fruit of an apple seed? It's an apple. What's the fruit of a Christian? It's another Christian. In other words, bearing fruit also means living in such a way that people are drawn to Christ because of you. You bear fruit. That's another way of bearing fruit, not just as fruits of the Spirit, but your life draws people to Christ. And so that's what happens by living, by hearing the world and understanding it. I heard a really, really great quote by this woman, Debbie Thomas, who I've mentioned before. She's an Episcopal pastor in California. And she says, perhaps you've read this parable and walked away feeling bad about your own faith life, feeling judged, inadequate, and anxious. You've wondered how to make your spiritual soil less rocky. You've designed all sorts of self-improvement projects to get rid of the thorns. More prayer, less Twitter, more Bible study, less cynicism, more church, less television. You've read the parable as an indictment of your relationship with a sower who just can't seem to find an appropriately hospitable environment in your messed up heart. And I think that's the problem with this parable of the sower. We feel the indictment more than we see it as Jesus is saying, look, this is what happens to all of us. Well, all of you, it probably didn't happen to Jesus. All of you. And as you're trying to walk, these different things happen. You know, like all those different things that I'd mentioned had all happened to me. And they probably will happen to you too. That you hear the word and don't understand it. You hear the word and receive it with joy, but only endure for a while. You hear the word, but the cares of the world and lure of wealth choke it. And you hear the word, understand it, and bear fruit. And that probably happened to all of the good part and the bad part. But there's something really just more important, okay? And this is the beauty for me of doing this sermon today, this after I've known it my whole life. And this is so, so wonderful. In verse 18, Jesus says, this is Jesus says, hear then the parable of the soils. No, he doesn't. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, hear then the parable of the terrain. What does he say? Hear then the parable of the sower. This isn't about the soil. We are the soils. We're the soils. We're the terrain. This is about the sower. It's the parable. It's telling you what God is like and how great God is, even though we stumble and rumble and, you know, fall so many times. It's talking about who God is. It's not about you and me. It's not the parable of Jim's life of failure. It's not that parable. It's a parable of the sower. So let's just, for the last little bit we got, let's talk about, what does the parable say about God? What does it say about God's nature? What does it say about God's provision, God's love? What does it say about who God is? It says God is generous. There's a contemporary translation of the New Testament, and it said the sower sows hilariously. The sower sowed hilariously. He's throwing stuff all over the place. You know, you think about, he's not really thinking about results. In business, we would do a cost-benefit analysis of how much we're sowing versus how much we are growing. He doesn't do that. 75%, three-quarters of the seed the sower sows falls on ground that's not great. Only 25%, but he keeps on sowing. And I love it. And so Debbie Thomas, this is her other part of that. I just think it's so great. She says, imagine this. A sower blissfully walking across the fields and meadows, the back alleys and sidewalks, the playgrounds and parking lots of this world, fistfuls of seed in his quick to open hands. There is no way to contain that much seed, no way to sort it or save it. Of course it will spill over. Of course it will fall through his fingers and cover the ground, scattering in every direction. How can it not? But here's the surprising part of the story. The sower doesn't mind. He's not obsessed with where the seeds land. All he cares to do is keep sowing, flinging, and opening his hands. Why? Because there's enough seed to go around. There's enough seed to accomplish the sower's purposes. There's enough seed to quote-unquote waste. I forget that all the terrain is finally God's. Under God's provision and sustained by God's love. Who am I to tell God, the creator of the earth and all that is in it, what good soil looks like? Who am I to look at God's generosity and call it waste? I love that, man. So that's what it says about God, that God is generous. And God doesn't care how much it takes to throw all that seed around. Like with you and the stuff you're struggling with, God's keeping on throwing. He's keeping on giving you grace. God's keeping on giving you forgiveness. God's keeping on giving you nurture. God is still, there's not a limited capacity of that. It's overwhelming. You, no matter what you're dealing with, God is not giving up on you. God is never giving up on you, and God is going to continue to nurture you and to give you all the seed you need. So that's what it says about God. What does it say about us? Well, it just, whatever, if one of those soils kind of rang a bell today for you right now, which one of those? God is going to sow his word in you no matter what kind of soil you are right now. No matter what you're feeling, if you are deep in doubt, God's going to keep sowing his word in you. If you are in disbelief right now, wondering if you might have become an atheist this year, God is still sowing God's word in you. If you are in grief, if you're in anger, if you're in total rebellion against God, like I was in London, if you're struggling with sin, God is still sowing God's word in you, and he's not going to give up. He's still sowing it because he's got plenty. I think one of the things I've learned this year is how much God wants us to be close to have a relationship with God. How close. And you see that in the incarnation. You see that in Jesus coming to earth. And I'm going to close with this quote from Frederick Buechner. And he wrote it about Christmas. He wrote it about the stable and about how unbelievable it is that the God who made the whole universe reduced himself to the size of a 16-year-old girl's womb and came into the world in a stable. And here's what he says. Those who believe in God can never, in a way, be sure of him again. Once they have seen him in a stable, they can never be sure where he will appear or to what lengths he will go or to what ludicrous depths of self-humiliation he will descend in his wild pursuit of men and women. If holiness and the awful power and majesty of God were present in this least auspicious of all events, this birth of a peasant's child, then there is no place or time so lowly and earthbound but that holiness can be present there too. And then he closes with this, and I will too. And this means that we are never safe, that there is no place where we can hide from God, no place where we are safe from God's power to break into and recreate the human heart, because it is just where he seems most helpless that he is most strong, and just where we least expect him that he comes most fully. Let's pray together. God, we admit that we're not always that best kind of soil that you want us to be. In fact, right now, we're probably not. If we look through our lives, we've been all four of them. Thank you, God, that you are so generous. Thank you that you never give up on us. Thank you that you so hilariously, that you sow with an abundance to us. For everyone here that's dealing with grief, everyone struggling with depression, everyone struggling with addiction, or just spiritual dryness, spread your seed on us, oh God. Let us know who you are as the unbelievably generous sower in our lives. Sow your word in us. Nurture us so that we could bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.